In a world with so many uncertain and confusing voices, isn't it wonderful to know that there is an objective truth outside of ourselves? That truth is found in the Word of God. That word, which Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is our foundation, and through it we learn the good news of Jesus Christ, the Gospel. This is Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We invite you to join us today as we mine the riches of God's Word, searching as for hidden treasure, that we might understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Bradenhoff.
Well, a good Wednesday afternoon to you. Welcome to another edition of Gospel Talk. This week on Gospel Talk, we have been considering the subject of Scripture interpretation. How do we understand the Bible? Is it possible to have an objective understanding of what the Bible teaches? And then connected with that, is it possible to have an objective understanding of the Gospel, of who Jesus Christ is and His person and His work? Well, As we've been going through this subject over this week and last week, we've seen that indeed it is possible. It is possible by going back to the Word of God for the foundational principles, for the basic principles and guidelines for understanding the Bible. And to help us in that, we've been using a book by Dr. Sekel Gurdanis called Scripture Principles for Scripture Interpretation. Now, I should mention that that book was originally written in Dutch. It hasn't been translated into English, unfortunately, but you can find an English summary of that book by going to the Gospel Talk blog and following the links. The Gospel Talk blog is gospeltalkradio.blogspot.com. Gospel Talk Radio, it's all one word, .blogspot.com. And if you can't remember that, you don't have a pen handy or whatever, you can also just go to Google and you can enter in Gospel Talk Radio and you'll find us very easily and then you'll find those links. Should also mention that if you have any comments or any questions about anything you hear on the program, feel free to leave a comment on the blog. I'd love to hear from you. You can also email me, gospeltalk@hotmail.com, gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Love to hear from you. Love to interact with you. So let's carry on then with our look at Scripture Principles for Scripture Interpretation. And we're at the eighth point that Dr. Gurdanis raises. And in this eighth point, he works with the idea of the Bible as an organism, as a whole being, having parts which make up the whole. And he says, since Holy Scripture is an organism, the interpretation of one of its parts must reckon with the whole and with the other parts, and with the developing progress of God's revelation. So organism, you know, that's a biological term. You think of a whole being with all its parts connected, parts which make up the whole. In the same way, Scripture is a whole entity made up of parts which are connected and form a unity. And therefore, to interpret the place and the form and the working of the distinct parts in this organism, one has to take the whole and the other parts into account. The different parts of the Bible didn't come into being independently from one another or accidentally without any interlink, says Gurdanis. Rather, its parts belong together, genetically and genealogically. They are spiritually related and together form a firm, well-ordered, complete unity. You know, it's important that we get that into our minds, that the Bible is not, you know, a disparate collection of 66 books that have very little to do with one another. The Bible is a unity. The Bible has one message. The Bible has one primary author. Even though it was written over thousands of years by many human authors, the primary author is God Himself. And thus, the Bible is a unity. It holds together. And so, also, the New Testament cannot be understood correctly without the Old Testament. You know, just putting aside Gurdanis here for a minute, and that's part of the reason why I think it's a little bit, I don't know, it's not really desirable to have these New Testaments that you can get without the Old Testament there. I agree. You know, in certain instances where the Bible hasn't been translated into that language yet, you know, for instance, you know, with Wycliffe Bible translators or what have you, okay, fine, that's an exceptional circumstance. But normally, we should have a complete Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, because you need the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. The New Testament constantly refers to the Old Testament. It constantly quotes from it, argues its points from it. This is Gridanus again. He says, the Old Testament opens up in the New. And that goes back to an old Latin saying, which I don't think I need to share with you. But basically, that old Latin saying says, the Old Testament opens up in the New was hidden in the Old. With the parts of the New Testament as well as of the Old, often the secondary authors appear to have known and used each other's writings to enhance the influence of those writings. And so, we have to recognize in the Bible what came before and what followed after. One part enlightens the other. One can notice development in the Bible, not only in the increase of content, not only in the volume, the quantity, but that what is present in seed form in the older books is worked out. And it's elaborated in the later books, and it becomes clearer. The example that Gridanus gives is Genesis 3:15. Now, that's a passage that I've mentioned quite often on this program. Genesis 3:15, the mother promise that God will send the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. In Genesis 3:15, the whole gospel is presented in seed form. But we see this only in the light of the New Testament, because the New Testament fills us in on how this develops. The same counts for the promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3, that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. If we take one final example, there's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, we can only understand that fully in the light of the sufferings of our Savior that are described to us in the Gospels. So there's growth in God's revelation, there's development, and when we pay attention to that, we see God's revelation, his self-revelation, becoming clearer and broader through time. There's a history to God's self-revelation in Christ. And therefore, in Genesis 3:15, which is, again, the mother promise, we have to recognize what God has revealed with respect to this promise in later times, and with its ultimate fulfillment in the New Testament in Christ. And the same has to be said for God's promise to David in 2 Samuel 7, and, says Gridanus, in fact, for everything. And therefore, we have to recognize the progressive, the organic development of God's revelation with its different parts and their distinct moments as coming from one seed, one germ, one root. And we also have to see its truths in relation with the whole of God's revelation and with the mutual connections of the diverse parts. Everything is connected in Scripture. The wider context sheds light on a specific text. Now, the ninth point that Gridanus raises in his book, Scripture Principles for Scripture Interpretation, is that when we interpret the Bible, we also have to recognize the distinct times and dispensations to which the parts that are to be explained belong. Although God gave his self-revelation in Christ regarding the redemption of sinful man and a lost word, that he gave that right away in seed form, Genesis 3:15, it did become more richly developed with the passage of time. Specifically, in the time of fulfillment, in the new dispensation, the New Testament era, God placed his predictions entirely in the light. And this fulfillment brought along great changes. The entire ceremonial law of the Old Testament, inasmuch as it was a shadow of Christ, has been done away with. It's been abrogated. We no longer come to church and make animal sacrifices. We no longer have priests making sacrifices for us. Animal sacrifices have been done away with. That's the point in Hebrews 10:12-14. So are the commands regarding circumcision and the feast days and feast years. You can look at Galatians 4 and Colossians 2. The relation of church and state. It's no longer the way it was in Israel. In Israel, those things were very closely linked together. In this New Testament era, it's no longer like that. Also, the apostles were given the command to gather God's people from all nations. Matthew 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. In the Old Testament, there was only the Great Commission in seed form. It was only there in a kind of a way that hinted towards the future. In the New Dispensation, we live under different circumstances and relationships and regulations. Many rules enforced before Christ no longer apply because they were shadows of Christ and of his work. Before the law came, before Moses came, there was still a different dispensation. There was the dispensation from Abraham to Moses. And that was preceded by the dispensation that includes the time before the flood. Materially, the covenant of grace did not change through these different times and dispensations, because there's only one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. There's only one way of salvation for sinners, John 14, 6. Only one way to the Father, through Jesus Christ. There is only one true faith, says Ephesians 4, 5. And only one name through which we are saved, according to Acts 4, verse 12. And that's true throughout all ages. Through all ages, right from the very beginning. But the forms in which God revealed this were different in these distinct dispensations, and his demands were also different. Essentially, however, these commandments were the same, but the forms in which they were given and were to be obeyed, they were different. And that means that what God said in a specific situation to Noah, for instance, build an ark, or what God said to Abraham, offer your son, those aren't commands for us. We're not called to make a tabernacle with all the specific measurements. We're not called to build the temple in Jerusalem and so forth. And so while in essence God's self-revelation was always the same, in its outward forms and rules, there were distinctions in the different dispensations. We need to understand that as we read the Bible. You know, sometimes you'll see that in the newspaper, people mocking the Bible, making fun of the Bible, and they say, you know, Christians are inconsistent. You know, they have a problem with homosexuality, but meanwhile, they pick and choose what they want from the Bible. They only obey certain things from the Bible and not others. Well, that criticism really holds no water because of this very fact that the Bible is, you know, there are different eras and dispensations in the Bible. Not everything that was spoken at one point applies at another point. Well, we're going to continue with this tomorrow. I hope you'll join me again, 2:45. And until then, may God continue to richly bless you in every way.
It was great that you could join us today for Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. This program has come to you today through the generous support of the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church. You can find the church in Yarrow at 42285 Yarrow Central Road. Worship services are at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. every Sunday. You can find more information about the Yarrow Canadian Reformed Church at the website www.yarrow.canrc.org. That website again, www.yarrow.canrc.org. If you'd like more information on the program, please drop us a line through the mail, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. Postal code V2Z1B3. You can drop us a line by email, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. Again, that's Gospel Talk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. We trust that this program has helped you to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ again today. This has been Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff. And be sure to stay tuned tomorrow morning at 8:30 for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, right here on AM 550 KARI.